You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Slow down. Turn back. You're going the wrong way. You're making a huge mistake. Just imagine you're driving on a road with a bridge out, and yet nothing or no one warns you to slow down or turn around or stop. Well, as hard as it is to hear, being warned is sometimes the most loving thing someone can do for us. Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. In our five-year journey through God's entire Word, we're traveling down a stretch of road in Ezekiel 33 that has a big warning sign posted. Big. The man of the hour is our prophet Ezekiel, who firmly and lovingly calls God's people back to him. Some will listen, and unfortunately, most will not. I guess not much has changed in the centuries between us. Let's pray for our hearts to be ready to hear and obey the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for breathing out your word, for teaching us what to believe, and encouraging us, correcting us, and teaching us then how to live righteously before you and before men. Help us to listen with willing hearts. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study of Ezekiel 33 on Through the Bible.
Now, friends, I hope you found your place here in the 33rd chapter of this very wonderful book of Ezekiel. Now, we have come actually to the last major division of the book. From here, chapter 33 through 48, the last chapter, we will see now the glory of the Lord and the coming kingdom. And there is a tremendous break here, and we'll call attention to it as we move along into this particular passage here. Now, the previous chapter, that is chapter 32, concluded the predictions concerning the nations that were round about, that were actually contiguous to the land of Israel. And they were very closely related to them, of course, actually related by blood. In this section we are coming to, this man Ezekiel returns back to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem and Israel will be a subject, but not like it was before. You see, up to chapter 25, everything pointed to the destruction of Jerusalem, and he prophesied that. It came to pass, and the false prophets were proved wrong. Now, he immediately went off the air, let's say. He was silent, dumb, as we're told here, couldn't speak. That is, he was speaking, but no longer about Jerusalem. Then he gave these prophecies from chapter 25 through 32 about the surrounding nations. There was quite a few of them that were adjoining Israel. Then there was Tyre, and Sidon, and then Egypt. And now he's speaking again. He's back on the air. But he's talking about Jerusalem, no longer going to be judged because it was judged by that time. He looks now into the future of the coming kingdom, and everything from here on points to that. As it were, he sets his automatic pilot on, and he gets his directions, his bearing, and he just zeroes in on the coming kingdom and when the glory of the Lord will be displayed again on the earth. Now, that makes this a very interesting section. Now, first of all, in chapter 33 here, we have the commission renewed to this man, and not only renewed, but it will be also, he'll be commended for the fact that he's done a good job up to this point. And from now on, he's going to be speaking to the people of Israel, how they're to live in captivity. And how were they to live? In expectancy of the future. Before, they had no hope because of their sin. But now he looks down into the future, and they have a hope now. And today, we have a hope. But our hope is not anchored in anything that men do down here or any gyrations of psychoanalysis. Our hope today is not a philosophy, but it rests upon the Word of God and what He has said will take place in the future. And that is the lodestar of the child of God. Not the same as Israel, moving into the millennium. We're moving into actually the New Jerusalem. And that is the thing that's immediately head of the church. Now let's come here to this particular chapter, and we'll lift out some things through this section here. Chapter 33 opens on the same note. This is a stuck record as far as Ezekiel is concerned. Verse 1, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, he doesn't want you to forget that he's not giving you his theory or ideas, but this is the word of the Lord. Now he says, son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their borders and set him for their watchman, if then he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Now again, he reverts back to the commission that he gave to this man, Ezekiel, at the very beginning. And he likens it to the watchman in that day. Here is a city. It's a walled city. Most of the cities of importance in that day, if they were subject to an invader, built a wall around. At night, they were appointed, which means the king or the ruler or those that were in authority, appointed a man as the watchman. And he was upon the wall and watched during the night. And I think during the night, he called off the watches. All's well. And he looked out on the desert and didn't see the moving of any enemy. And he could say, all's well. But the interesting thing was the false prophets were saying all's well, and the enemy was coming. They were too blind to see. Now this man here, Ezekiel, had given them the warning. Verse 6, but if the watchmen see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now, the people are going to be judged, but the watchman will be held responsible if he doesn't warn them. Now, Ezekiel had to warn them. The false prophet said not. He'd done a good job. Now, again, verse 7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. Now he had fulfilled that commission, you see. Now he says here, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. You see, the responsibility of the watchman, and that's what we're talking about here, is to warn the wicked because they're going to be judged. But he is to give them a warning. Now, they didn't hear him. They didn't listen to him. But that's the only way that the watchman can actually clear himself. Now, that today means that the man who's teaching the Word of God is not required to get results. A great many people, they always say, let's get an evangelist that can get results. And if people see folk moving in a meeting, they think that if they're in the back and they come forward, that's good. And if they're forward and go to the back, that's still good, just so you get people moving. May I say to you that it's not the important thing. The important thing when a man is finished giving a message is actually not the result. Is has he given the word of God? Is he giving them warning? And that is the important thing. Actually, the thing I look at is not the folk who come forward. It's the people that walk out after the benediction. Have they been warned? That's the important thing. We've been looking at the wrong crowd. And we say, oh, so-and-so gave such a sweet gospel invitation, and a lot of sweet people came forward. No decisions were actually made, but you know, we had a movement going on and going forward and going backwards, going every direction. I remember when I changed in downtown Los Angeles, having people come forward, many timid people before a large congregation. And so we asked them to go to the back. We had a prayer room and asked them to go there. And I had a few old timers that really got excited. And I said, what is your problem? And one said they should come forward. I said, do I understand you correctly? That they should go east and not go west? Well, they said, we don't mean it that way. Well, I said, that's exactly what you're saying. You see, friends, the important thing for the man who's giving out the word of God's warning. Now, wait just a minute. Oh, I thank God when there are results. And we have literally hundreds of letters here now of people who've accepted Christ as Savior just through listening to the word of God. I rejoice in that. But frankly, my business is to give out the word of God. And I frankly want to make sure that the fella that hears it and doesn't do anything, he's been properly warned. If he's not, I'm responsible. So that's the reason that maybe I give it out as I do, as this man has noticed and many others have commented on it. Now, let's move down to verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, turn from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now, the thing that's quite obvious, God doesn't want to judge. Judgment is a strange work. You remember Isaiah said. And now he wants to save them. And he's urging them to turn to him and accept life. Now these people, they had another complaint. They said God is not just in his judgment. And I'm going to drop down now to verse 17. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. That is, he's not fair. He judges everybody alike. And we got some good people among us, you see. But as for them, their way is not equal. Now, when the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die for it. Now, we're not talking here about somebody losing salvation. God says when one of his children gets into sin, he'll judge him. Now, that's exactly what Paul said. If we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. And he says through John, he said, there is a sin unto death. Now, sin for who? For a lost man? No, he's already under the sentence. That's a child of God. But what kind of death? Physical death. God judges Christians today. And I'm amazed that some folk don't catch on after a while when they're in a work and the work is going down and getting in debt and everything, you'd think the message had come through that maybe God's moving in judgment. Maybe things are not right there, you see. Now, God says that he's righteous in what he does. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness, committeth iniquity, he shall even die for it. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live by it. Now, if a wicked man would turn to God, God will save him. God's made that very clear. Yet ye say, verse 20 now, the way of the Lord's not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. Now, the fact of the matter is, this man's been carried into captivity, and he was a godly man. He had trusted God, and he's carried just like the most wicked person, and he's complaining. I don't blame him for complaining because it looks like God's being unfair. God says, don't misunderstand. You are being carried into captivity because the nation has sinned, and you're identified with the nation. And you and I today have to pay an excessive insurance premium because there are a lot of alcoholics around today. I don't drink, but I have to pay for them too. And I have to pay taxes. Because we got a lot of foolish folk in Washington that just believe in spending money. And we have to pay for that. Actually, we're identified with a nation. And that was true of Israel. But God says, wait a minute, I'm going to judge every one of you. And my friend, I don't care who you are, you're going to stand before God. Now, if you're a child of God today, he'll judge you for your sin. You won't lose your salvation, but he'll take you to the woodshed. Now, if you're a lost man, you've got no claim on God at all. Now, he's made that very clear in the New Testament, in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God says, he doesn't say he won't hear the prayer of the wicked. He just says he hears the prayers of the righteous, and he's not obligated to hear the other. But if that wicked man would cry out to him, God would deliver him. But the wicked man has no claim on God. When you hear people today say, why does God let this happen? And they're unsaved. Well, my friend, you have no claim on God. God's righteous when he's judging a lost world. And we forget that this happens to be his world. Now, will you notice this? And he's going to be very clear. Oh, this section here, I tell you, it gets right down to the nitty-gritty. Now let me read verse 21. It came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. Now, Ezekiel had already prophesied it, but he had no information. God told him the city was destroyed. And at that time, his wife died on the very day. And he says, don't you grieve, because I want these people to know that I've repudiated that city. They think that I have to have Jerusalem. They think that I will not destroy it. They don't believe I'll judge sin. And he said, I am. Therefore, don't weep for her, and let them know that at this time the city is being destroyed for its sin. The city is smitten. Now, I want to tell you, when this was brought to these people, it was absolutely something that dumbfounded them. They were absolutely overwhelmed by it. They had never heard anything like it. They never believed that anything like this could possibly take place. But it's happened now. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening. This is verse 22. Before he who was escaped came, and it opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. Now you see, at the end of chapter 24, that time Ezekiel announced the destruction of Jerusalem, the bloody city. It's gone down now. From then on, he had no word about Jerusalem. From chapter 25 here through chapter 32, been no word about Jerusalem. It's all about these surrounding nations. Now, God no longer makes the man dumb about Jerusalem. He says, I have some messages for you about Jerusalem. Now we can begin to look to the future. These people were hanging on to the false prophets, and they had no word at all. Now he says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is verse 24 now, son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land is given us for an inheritance. They go back. They say, well, look, God took care of Abraham, and there's just one of him and a whole lot of us. Yes, but there's a lot of difference. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. These people not believing God. That's the reason they've gone down. Verse 25, wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes towards your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? God says, I won't let you have the land. That's the reason I put the heathen and the pagan out of this land, is because of their sin, and you are doing the same things. Now, verse 28, for I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Now, I can't get elated as some of my very good minister friends do. When they get to that land, they get into ecstasy. You'd think they were on drugs the way some of them act. Oh, isn't it wonderful to see this land? Friends, it's just about as desolate as any place that you could possibly find today. That land is desolate because the judgment of God is upon it. All you've got to do over there is look. And today there's a big water shortage, and you put a little water on that land, and my, it blossoms like the rose. But there's not enough water. That's the great problem. Now, therefore, I would say we're not seeing prophecy fulfilled till they get a little more water over there. I suggest to these fellows that are going to find so much fulfilled prophecy, when they go over there, they'll take a gallon of water with them and help out, because God says it'll be desolate, and his judgment, it's not upon only a people, but upon a land. Now he goes on to say, verse 30, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the door of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. You see, they're shaken. They're going to listen to him now, but they won't follow through. And they come unto thee as the people come, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. You see, they like to come to church and hear all about love and nice, sweet, lovely things, but it has not changed their lives at all. Remember, James very practically says, he says, get down where the rubber meets the road. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. And that's what these people were. Verse 33, and when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet had been among them. They now know that Ezekiel's a prophet. But now here's the interesting thing. They did not believe he was a prophet before. They now know he's a prophet of God, but they still don't listen to them. May I say to you that unbelief today is willful. It's not mental. That's not your problem, my friend. Your brain and my brain's not big enough to create a hurdle that you can't get over the Word of God and the problems. Your problem is you don't want to give up your sin. That was these people. And they were willing to come and listen. It had no effect upon them whatsoever. This is tremendous, is it not? But we must leave off. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, that's a great question, one worth repeating. When we hear God's word, does it make a difference in our lives? In fact, let's make it personal. When I hear God's word, does it change me in any way? To examine this deeper, why don't you check out The Inside Story? It's a small pamphlet that we have of scripture passages selected by Dr. McGee to help you understand the gospel. Find it all at ttb.org by doing a search for How to Know God. And if you're willing to take Dr. McGee's challenge to heart, then I suggest reading the verses and asking God to help you apply what you read to your life. Also at ttb.org, you'll find many other terrific Bible study materials. Some are available for free and others for purchase. So take your time and soak it all in. It's important for you to know that Through the Bible provides these resources to help you in your walk with the Lord, not to make a profit or to fund this program. As we close today's study, we'll hear straight from Dr. McGee on how Through the Bible is funded. To find out more or to be a partner with us as we continue to take God's whole word to his whole world, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or write to us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. You can also find us online at ttb.org/give. Now here again is Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
From time to time, it was my custom to state the policy of the Through the Bible radio program. And it's time again for it to be stated, and I would like to do that. It has never been our plan or purpose from the very beginning to use high-pressure methods. We do not send out junk mail. Everyone that's on our mailing list got there because they asked to be put there, or else someone asked for them. We today believe that if you are not able to support the program and you want our notes and outlines, that God will raise up somebody down the street or over in the next town to send in enough for you and for them also. We believe that the real test is the support that comes from any area, and we will not continue on a program if we do not get a reasonable amount of support. And we always give every station a fair opportunity to see if it's going to pay for itself. And that, by the way, is all that we ask. We do from time to time appeal to you to support our foreign broadcasts. After all, we cannot ask them, that is, the Chinese or the people of India or the people of South America or the people in Russia, to support our program. We believe that there are enough folk in this country that are interested in getting out the word over iron curtains, under bamboo curtains, and through the curtains of indifference and sin today to get the word of God out to the world. So we just let you know this and trust you'll understand that we do need your support, though we will not violate our rule by using high-pressure methods.
Jesus came in home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story, too?
Hi, fishing enthusiast. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
City with the city in our hearts. A special sympathy to one of the sisters who her son passed away. We're so sorry. I am Minister Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of Melbourne, Florida, and the church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. Come and be blessed. Here's Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there in Media Land. We thank God for another opportunity to be in the land of the living, because he's the only one that is responsible for everything during the course of the day, even at night. And we pray that that all out there in Radio Land, that you thank God for what he's doing in your life. He woke you up this morning and allowed you to see another day. And this is why we all rejoice and say, Lord, we thank you, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall all rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. He's merciful and compassionate. And I tell you, when you keep your mind on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at what the Word of God says. We're going to go into 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. For starters, because we want to just talk about the healing power of Jesus and what he's done for us. He's done so much for us all, and we just need to praise him. Somebody out there in Radio Land should say, Lord, I just thank you right now for just being able to walk on my own, praise God, or even to see, because all things that he has blessed us with, praise God. We thank him for it in the precious name of Jesus. But let's look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, Minister Gloria, as we...
It says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Well, praise God, praise God. He said that who his own self, he did it. This is where we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of all the difficulties and the situations we are going through, we just thank God for the situation, but we thank God in everything. Praise God, giving him all the grace, the glory, the mercy, and everything that he has blessed us with. Well, Peter's saying here that who his own self bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And I want to tell you today, if we were healed, then we are healed. And we should just keep our heart and mind on what God's word says. And I believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. I believe his report. He said that by his stripes that we are healed, then we are healed. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the word of God is clear. And Minister Glory, would you...
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Praise God.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Praise God. We are healed. Isaiah looking forward through the tunnel of time, should I say, because what's happening is that he prophesied this, that there was one that's coming that will die for our sins, and his name is Jesus. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that he is the only way back to the Father.
Amen.
He is the way,
that's right,
the truth, and the life.
That's right.
And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And we want to thank God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he came into this world to deliver us from all of our sins. And he said this is an evil world, and it is an evil world. If Jesus said it, he knows exactly what it is. And, Ms. Glory, we want to look at another verse of scripture there in Galatians. Praise God. In Galatians there. Amen. Praise God. We want to look at that in Galatians. Praise God. Hey?
Galatians?
Yes, we want to look at Galatians 1 and verse 8 and 9. Praise God.
Okay, it says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, to say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that you have received, let him be accursed.
This is why we have to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and give him all the praise, because he is the way, no other way. And I want to say out here, out there in Radio Land there, that the God in whom we serve, he's merciful and compassionate. He's long-suffering. And I tell you, he loves you. He loves us all. Praise God.
Amen.
Because he died for us all. Praise God. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse 2 that he is, and we need to keep that in mind, that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
And we thank God for that, Minister mm-hmm. Lord, because we can do nothing without him. We need the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Because he's wonderful.
Yeah.
He's merciful. Praise God. And he's done everything for us.
He
hung there on Calvary's cross.
Mm-hmm.
He took all of our sins, sicknesses and disease, and he nailed it to his cross. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, we need to honor him and glorify and magnify his name.
Yes.
Praise God. Keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. In any kind of situation that will develop in your life, you have authority over it in the name of Jesus. And that name is above every name. No matter what the situation is, Jesus is still Lord. Praise God.
Praise God.
And that's where our faith has to be, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not in what we feel that we are able to do, because we can do nothing apart from him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise God. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, I want you to read that, because we can do nothing without Jesus.
Philippians 3 and 13.
Philippians 4 and verse 13.
Philippians 4 and 13.
Praise God.
For it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me.
Praise God. You see, we need the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our strength. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is everything. And when we put our trust in him, he will see us through. Praise God. When we thank him and praise him for everything. Praise God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
That he is able to do all things.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, minutes ago, mm-hmm. we want to just lift up the name of Jesus and
praise
thank
God.
Him for his healing power.
Amen.
And everything that flows through us, because that's the report that we believe. We believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Is now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Praise God. Now unto him,
mm-hmm.
no one else, only the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, mm-hmm. according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
Well, I ask today out there in Radio Land and even here, what power is working in you? Is it the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in you, that's giving you direction and bringing forth healing in you? We must trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of the living God worketh in us because we believe what the Word says. And I want to tell you today that in Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus was telling his disciples, and I strongly believe that you are one of his disciples as well.
Amen.
If you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Ms. Lowe, you want to read Acts 1 and verse 8?
Yeah, he says, God. But you shall receive power.
Praise God.
After that the Holy Ghost come upon you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
That's the power that should be working in us all.
Amen.
As children of God.
Amen.
Our faith must be in what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that you shall receive power.
Amen.
After that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I thank God today, praise the Lord, for everything that he's doing and what he has done in all of our lives as children of God. Praise the Lord.
And you know what, Pastor, Philippians 2 and 13, we must remember it's not us, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Not us trying to do anything. It's only about him. Amen. Praise.
Well, it is him, because he's the one that's doing everything.
Amen.
That's why our faith and trust has to be in him. Praise God. Amen. In the Word of God tells us in Colossians 2, praise God,
mm-hmm.
Colossians 2,
mm-hmm.
and we want to look at the 12th and 13th verse, because we give thanks. And that's what we have to do. We have to give thanks unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has done everything for us. Praise God. And let's look at that verse of scripture there. And in Radio Land, I want to tell you that we need to look at what Colossians 2 and verse 12 and 13 is saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Minister, you want to read that?
Well, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. He has forgiven you all of your trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why we have situations in our lives is because we have not confessed problems that we have. And we all need to bring whatever it is to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, heal me.
Amen.
Heal me, Lord. I believe what you said in your word. Heal me, because you are able to do it.
Yes, he can.
And this is why we trust him.
Amen.
We trust the Lord, regardless of the circumstances or whatever it is that's going on in our lives. Like you said before, whose report we're going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord.
That's
amen.
Right. That's right.
And what the Lord said,
mm-hmm.
we're going to believe, because what he's done it all,
mm-hmm.
on the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
His blood was shed.
That's right.
For us all. Amen. Praise God.
That's why we must give him thanks.
Yes.
Unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Excuse me. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Praise God. Even the forgiveness of sins.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Giving thanks.
Yes.
Unto the Father, who has made us partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light. We are in the light.
Amen.
When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are in the light, because we ask light to come into us. Praise God.
Amen.
And what Colossians is saying here, Treasure Colossians, he's saying here, well, give thanks unto the Father,
praise God,
who has made us able to be partakers mm-hmm. of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Eternal life.
Amen. Mm-hmm. In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Ooh, glory.
In whom he has delivered us
Amen.
From the powers of darkness
mm-hmm.
and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Amen.
We are in the kingdom regardless of the circumstances.
Glory
we are
God.
Born again by the Spirit of the living God. We have power that's operating on the inside of us by the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
Jesus did it all. I said Jesus did it all. Mm-hmm. And what he's done is that he's made it possible. In Romans 8 and verse 11, praise God,
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you today that the Spirit that raised up Jesus,
yes.
it's the same Spirit that we have in us. And Minister Gloria, you want to read that? Because the power that's operating in our lives, praise God, is the same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead.
It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Praise God. Resurrected power.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Resurrected power. This power is power that operates according to God's will. This power is not ours. It's been invested in us. Praise God.
Amen.
And I tell you, a lot of people try to say, well, they have this power. But I want to tell you, the power is not yours. Mm-hmm. It belongs to the Lord. Amen. And he anoints us and brings us into a place where we can receive this anointed power that operates in all of us as children of God. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, and we look at what the Word of God says, and it tells us that this power belongs to God.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
This power belongs to God. And we have to depend on him. Praise God. We don't go around boasting or bragging about, well, I have this power. This power belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Minister Glory had ministered before there in Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, Jesus says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you.
Praise God.
So he's telling you where this power comes from. So now in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, Minister Glory, you want to read that?
It says, but we have this earthen
this treasure
and earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Now that tells us where this power lies, and God has the power. Praise God. And as the scripture tells us, and we need to stay focused on it, that the treasure,
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is treasure. Praise God. The treasure is in earthen vessels.
Yes.
And we are earthen vessels.
Yes.
Praise God. And the excellency of the power is not of us.
Amen.
But it's of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we know where this power lies and who the power belongs to. And we thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Because
that is wonderful.
We have the victory. We have the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We have victory.
You know what it says? It says in Colossians 3 and 1, it says, if ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Amen.
Where Christ sit on the right hand of God. And it says, set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Wow.
Whoa.
What might is verse of scripture there?
Amen.
That it's not us.
No, it's not us.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, everybody out there in Radio Land, if you believe and trust in what the Word of God is saying, you will be able to walk in the victory.
Praise God. That's right.
And this victory that he has given us
is from Jesus Christ.
God, only by the Lord Jesus
but
Christ.
Thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Everything's about Jesus.
And we want to walk in that victory, praise the Lord. We want to walk in the victory that he has given us. And the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57,
mm-hmm.
praise God, that we are,
mm-hmm.
praise God,
victorious
through our Lord in our Christ. Lord and Savior Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Who gave us the victory?
Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And That victory, we're not fighting for the victory.
We have it.
We already have the victory.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that since we have this victory, we are to be steadfast.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Unmovable.
Unmovable.
Always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. We thank God for that today because the victory lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that's done it all.
He's done it all.
There's nothing that we can do in of our own strength, you know, but make a mess of what's going on. But if we depend on the Lord Jesus Christ and thank him for everything that he's done. You know, Minister Gerg, I want to show you that in scripture here that Jesus, he did it all.
Okay.
In Colossians 2 and verse 14,
mm-hmm.
and in 15, he's given us the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
2 and 14, yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Praise
it
God.
It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us.
Praise God. See, that's what he did. He blotted out the handwriting and the ordinances that were against us and contrary to us by taking it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Amen.
Now, that 15th verse is what I want to tell you, that Jesus has done it all.
Yes.
And that he did this at the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the blood still has power. Praise yes. God. I said the blood of Jesus still has power. That blood covers us from all sickness and disease, griefs and sorrows, whatever it is, the blood has power. In the 15th verse, 10 minutes ago,
and says, having spoiled principalities and powers.
Amen.
He made a show of them openly, triumphing them over them in it.
Praise God. He did that all by the cross of Calvary. Praise God. He and he alone gave us the victory. He gave us the power. And the enemy can't do no harm to us no matter what he's trying to do. We have power over him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We have power. Praise God. And if we're going to look at, you remember when he gave the disciples power, praise God, in Matthew, the 10th chapter, when he sent them out, praise God, he gave them power, and he's also sent us out. He says that as the Father has sent him, so send I you. So he sent us out as well. So in Matthew, the 10th chapter, when he called his disciples together, praise God, in the 10th chapter, and he gave them power.
Yes.
You want to read that, Mr. Glory?
It says, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, he gave them power.
Yes.
See, so the power wasn't of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's of God. So he gave them power. Praise God. Yes. Now, in Luke, the 10th chapter,
mm-hmm.
in verse 19,
yep.
these 70, well, first of all, they were disciples. And then a disciple is one that follows the master of his teacher.
Amen.
Then they became apostles when he sent them out. Praise God. So in Luke 10 and verse 19,
mm-hmm.
you want to read that message?
Because behold, I give unto you power.
Amen.
To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, I'm going to say that again, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, this is what he did. He sent them out.
Mm-hmm.
They came back rejoicing, and they were saying that, Master, even the spirits
mm-hmm.
are subject unto us in your name.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that name is powerful.
That name is powerful.
The name of Jesus
That's
is
right.
powerful.
That's right.
That's why we can speak that name in any given situation, and it brings forth healing in our body.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, bring forth healing in our bodies.
That's right.
When we depend and believe what that word says.
Yeah, because it says, wherefore God also had exalted him, Jesus.
Yes.
And given him a name which is above every name.
Yes.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and all things in heaven, and all things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory to Father.
Praise God. What a mighty name. Praise the Lord. That's why when we speak the name of Jesus, whatever the situation is, if you have sickness in your body, speak the name of Jesus.
Speak the name of Jesus.
And thank him for what he's done, because he's done it all at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
He took all of our sins, sicknesses, and disease, and he nailed it to his cross. And this is why we can depend on what he has done for us all.
Amen.
And when the enemy tries to come in, the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So what's happening is that the enemy is always trying to stop you from doing the will of God. But we give Jesus the praise.
Amen.
And the honor, because he's given us power. You know, Minister Gray,
yes.
Back there in Luke 10 and verse 19, I wanted to mention something else there that
okay.
He gave us power.
Yes.
That word power is authority. Mm-hmm. He gave us authority over all the works of the enemy.
Yes.
Praise God. And he did that to you and to me as a child of God. We thank him for it. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. We thank God that we have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. Praise God. And Mr. Gloria, you know, in Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10, mm-hmm. It tells us, praise God, that if we believe in our hearts, and this is where everything has to be. It starts in the heart.
Amen.
Praise God. The enemy tried to work in your mind, because the mind is the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
But what's taking place is that your mind, you have the mind of Christ.
Right.
Praise God. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, it tells us that we have the mind of Christ. We're not trying to get it. So we want to think the thoughts of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, Minister Glory, would you extend an invitation to all those out there in Radio Land that need salvation? Praise God.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
amen,
the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in Jesus Christ.
Praise God, by faith in Jesus Christ. Because in Galatians 3 and in verse 26, it says that for we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. I thank God for you tuning into the broadcast, wherever you are, and keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that has done it all. God bless you all out there. Until another broadcast. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.